Blog Talk Radio.
Chapter 11, An Example of Devotion. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. James chapter 4, verse 8. I urge upon you communion with Christ, a growing communion. There are curtains to be drawn aside in Christ that we never saw, and new foldings of love in him. Therefore, dig deep and sweat and labor and take pains for him, and set by as much time in the day for him as you can. He will be one in the labor. Samuel Rutherford. God has now, and has had before, many devoted prayerful preachers, men with lives in which prayer has been a mighty, controlling, conspicuous force. The world has felt their power, and God has felt and honored that power. His cause has moved mightily and swiftly by their prayers. Their characters have beamed holiness with a divine radiance. God found one of the men he was looking for in David Brainerd, whose work and name have gone into history. He was no ordinary man, but was capable of shining in any company. As the peer of the wise and gifted ones, he was eminently suited to fill the most attractive pulpits and labor among the most refined and the cultured who were anxious to secure him for their pastor. Jonathan Edwards, president of Princeton, bears testimony that he was a young man of distinguished talents, had extraordinary knowledge of men and things, had rare conversational powers, excelled in his knowledge of theology, and was truly an extraordinary saint, especially in all matters relating to experiencing religion for one so young. I never knew his equal of his age and standing for clear and accurate notions of the nature and essence of true religion. His manner in prayer was almost incomparable, such as I have rarely known an equal. His learning was very considerable, and he had extraordinary gifts for the pulpit. No holier story has been recorded in recent centuries than that of David Brainerd. No miracle attests with more godly force the truth of Christianity than the life and work of such a man. Alone in the savage wilds of America, he struggled day and night with a mortal disease. He was not schooled in the care of souls, and only had access to the Indians through the bungling medium of a pagan interpreter for a large portion of time. With the word of God in his heart and in his hand, his soul fired with the divine flame, and a place and time to pour out his soul to God in prayer, he established the worship of God and secured all its gracious results. The Indians were affected with a great change from the lowest conditions of an ignorant and debased heathenism to pure, devout, and intelligent Christians. They were transformed by the renewing of their soul that they may experience what is that good and well-pleasing and perfect will of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. With all vices reformed, the external duties of Christianity were at once embraced and acted on. Family prayer was set up, and the Sabbath was instituted and religiously observed. The internal graces of religion were exhibited with growing sweetness and strength. The cause of these results is found in David Brainerd himself, not in the conditions or accidents, but in the man Brainerd. He was God's man, for he put God first and last and all the time. God could flow unhindered through him. The omnipotence of grace was neither restrained nor hindered by the conditions of his heart. The whole channel was broad and clean for God's fullest and most powerful passage, so that God could come down with all his mighty forces on the hopeless, savage wilderness and transform it into his blooming and fruitful garden. As Paul told Timothy, "Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. Nothing is too hard for God if he has the right kind of a man to do it. Brainerd lived the life of holiness and prayer. His diary is full and monotonous with the record of his seasons of fasting, meditation, and rest. The time he spent in private prayer amounted to many hours daily. "When I return home," he said, "and give myself to meditation, prayer, and fasting, my soul longs for mortification, self-denial, humility, and divorcement from all things of the world. I have nothing to do," he said, "with earth, but only to labor in it honestly for God. I do not desire to live one minute for anything that earth can afford." He may have prayed with the psalmist, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee, and a sojourner, as all my fathers were." Psalm 39, verse 12. After this high order, he prayed. Feeling somewhat of the sweetness of communion with God, the constraining force of his love, and how admirably it captivates the soul and makes all the desires and affections to center in God, I set this day apart for secret fasting and prayer. I entreat God to direct and bless me with regard to the great work that I have in view of preaching the gospel. May the Lord return to me and show me the light of his countenance. I had little life and power in the morning. Near the middle of the afternoon, God enabled me to wrestle passionately in intercession for my absent friends, but at night, the Lord visited me marvelously in prayer. I think my soul was never in such agony before. I felt no restraint, for the treasures of divine grace were open to me. I wrestled for absent friends, for the ingathering of souls, for multitudes of poor souls, and for many that I thought were the children of God in many distant places. I was in such agony from noon sun until near dark that I was wet all over with sweat, but it seemed to me I had done nothing. Oh, my dear Savior, sweat blood for poor souls. I longed for more compassion toward them. I felt still in a sweet frame under a sense of divine love and grace, and I went to bed in that condition with my heart set on God. It was prayer that gave his life and ministry their marvelous power. The men of mighty prayer are men of spiritual might. Prayers never die. Brainerd's whole life was a life of prayer. Scripture: "Yet the Lord will command his mercy in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life." Psalm 42, verse 8. By day and by night he prayed. Before preaching and after preaching, he prayed. Riding through the interminable solitudes of the forest, he prayed. On his bed of straw, he prayed. Retiring to the dense and lonely forest, he prayed. Hour by hour, day after day, early morning and late at night, he prayed and fasted. He poured out his soul, interceded, and communed with God. He was with God mightily in prayer, and God was with him mightily. Because of that, though he is dead, yet he speaks and works and will speak and work until the end comes. Among the glorious ones of that glorious day, he will be with the first. Jonathan Edwards said of him, His life shows the right way to success in the works of the ministry. He sought it as the soldier seeks victory in a siege or battle, or as a man who runs a race for a great prize. Animated with love for Christ and souls, how did he labor? Always fervently. Not only in word and doctrine, in public and in private, but in prayers by day and night, wrestling with God in secret and laboring in birth with unutterable groans and agonies until Christ was formed in the hearts of the people to whom he was sent. Like a true son of Jacob, he persevered in wrestling through all the darkness of the night until the breaking of the day. Scripture, and Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. Genesis chapter 32, verse 24.
Dark and dreary, don't